I had to see the Lord every day, but here it is, Sunday night, and I'm looking at you again, so. All right. Open your Bible to Genesis chapter number 24. Brother Lawson was in chapter 50 and chapter 45, and he talked about typology, and that's what we're going to deal with tonight, is some typology. Very familiar. I'm only going to read the first 11 verses and then bring. By the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughter of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swear to him concerning the matter. Look at verse number 10. And this is important because 10, if you know, 10 in the Bible is a Gentile number. And so this servant is going out to find a Gentile bride for a Jewish bridegroom. Therefore, in verse number 10, notice how many camels he takes with him, because he's going to be coming back with a Gentile bride. And the servant took 10 camels, the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master was in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. My Father, as I bow in your presence, I ask you now that you'd hide me behind the cross. Lord, I've never learned how to preach, and I'm too old to try tonight. Unless you anoint me, unless you hide me completely and anoint me, there'll be no preaching done. I can give a few points in the close, but my Father, my prayer tonight is that just for a little while, my Father, that you would feed your children, that you would hide me, anoint me, give me that unction from on high to be able to deliver what you've laid upon my heart. And I'll be very careful to bow my unworthy head and give you the praise for it, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I come across some notes. I save everything. I'm telling you, it's crazy. How much notes and outlines and I remember back in 1988, we went to the Holy Land. Brother, you would not believe all the notes that I still have going all the way back to 1988. I made notes of every day we was there. And a lot of times I'll be digging around in there and I come across one little piece of paper. And it will be a note that reminds me of something that happened a long time ago. And then lo and behold, the Lord will give me a message based upon that. You know, when I first dealt with the call to preach, the Lord was dealing with my heart about preaching. I said, no, you wrong, not me. Because I would not stand up in school and give an oral report. I wouldn't do it. I just would not do it. I would say, I'll write it down or you can give me a goose egg. I'm not going to stand up in front of people and talk. And then the Lord started dealing with me about preaching. And I thought, oh, Lord, I know you make no mistakes, but not me. I can't do that. I can't stand up in front of people. But if the Lord, if he's calling you to do something, he won't make you do it. He won't force you to do it. He'll just make you wish you had. And so I finally threw up the surrender flag. And I told the Lord this. I said, if I'm going to preach, I want to preach like Brother So-and-so. Which I thought he was the greatest preacher that ever breathed there. And he was my pastor at that time. And I said, I want to preach like him. If I'm going to preach, that's the way I want to preach. And so for the first year, I made a fool out of myself, trying to get a message and preach just like he preached. And he was a seasoned preacher. And so he called me into his office to help me. He wasn't trying to make a fool out of me. I was doing too good of a job of that myself. But he was smart enough to know what I was doing. And he said, son, listen to me. God called you. You got to preach and let him use you the way he wants to use you. And it's plain to see what you're doing. You're trying to fashion your preaching after me. And he said, I can appreciate that, but that's not you. God called me and God called you. And you just got to study, apply yourself, and let the Lord use you the way he wants to use you. And I thought, well, golly bum, that makes sense. So then I told the Lord, when you give me a message, you got to paint me a picture, because I'm stupid. I have to see what I'm preaching. And the Lord has been faithful to do that for 45 years. Isn't that something? That's how he deals with me. He moves on my heart with something I've read from the Word of God, or a little note that I found that I made all the way back in 1988. And then he starts moving on my heart with the Word of God. And then I say, okay, start painting, Lord. And he'll paint me a picture in my heart of the message that he wants me to deliver. And then what I try to do is get up and I try to paint that. But understand, I'm not the artist that he is. I can only paint as good as I can paint. But I try to preach forth a message from a picture the Lord has showed me in my heart. This is very familiar. There's 67 verses here. And if you know your Bible, you know this very well. Abraham's old. He's stricken in age. And he calls his servant. And here he's an unnamed servant. And he makes him take an oath to go back into the isles of the Gentiles. Now understand something. I told you earlier that 10 is a Gentile number. In Genesis 10, you find out that Noah was the 10th from Adam. And then you have the generations of Noah. And you find out that it's associated with the isles of the Gentiles from where Abraham was called. Understand this. Abraham was a Gentile. God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees and made him the father of the Jewish nation. And so he said, you go back to my people, go back to my kindred, and there you'll find a bride for my son Isaac. And so he takes off on his journey. In verse number 10, he takes with him 10 camels because he's going to be bringing back a Gentile bride. And when he gets to where he's going, he has his camels to kneel down. And I looked that up today. Camels in there in 67 verses is mentioned 18 times. Isn't that something? So there's something about them camels. He had them to kneel down by the water at the time where women come out to draw water. And he said, this unnamed servant, he said, okay, Lord, prosper my journey. And let it, you ever prayed a prayer like this? Lord, let it work out like this right here. Most of the time it don't work out the way I pray it. But he said, let it work out like this, Lord. Whoever that I ask for a drink of water, let her give me a drink of water and offer also to water my camels. I mean, what a prayer. And the Bible said before he even got through talking, Rebecca comes out. And he goes to her and says, could you please give me a drink of water? And the Bible said that she took her pitcher, she set it down, and she gave him a drink of water. And she said, why don't I just water your camels also? Now, if I'd been that servant, I'd had me a spell right there. I mean, he just prayed that, and before he even gets through, Rebecca comes out. And she said, I'll water your camels too, I might as well. Wow, isn't that something? That was a quick answer to a prayer. And so his prayer was answered by Rebecca. He said, who's your kindred? Where are you? Who's your mother? Who's your father? And he finds out, lo and behold, that her grandfather is Nahor. That's Abraham's brother. So he's at the right place. And so then he gives her some jewels. He gives her an earring, places it on her, and gives her two bracelets to put on. That's 10 shekels. How many shekels of gold, you say? What'd you say? How many? 10 shekels of gold. Why 10? She's a Gentile. Listen, you cannot beat this book. If you think that God's name is not all over this book and his inspiration is not over this, man, you got issues. I'm telling you, his name is in this book. His breath is in this book. 10 shekels of gold. Now, I like this because he talks to her. She's been the answer to his prayer. In verse number 29, she had a brother named Laban. Man, I can see this because here this stranger shows up and is talking to Laban's little sister. And so being the big brother, he wants to find out what's going on. I was like that with my sister. If I seen somebody around her, especially a boy that I didn't know, I stuck my nose right in the middle of it. She came up to me and she said, son, there was a boy that pushed me away from the drinking fountain. I said, really? She said, yes. It hurt you? Yes. Hurt my shoulder. I said, where is he? Show me where he is. I don't know if you know Dewey Cooper or not. Anybody know Brother Dewey Cooper, the pastor? We had a brother named Marvin. I think he was one of the sons of the Giants. I'm telling you, he was a moose of a boy. I'm telling you, in school, my little sister took me and drugged me down the hallway and said, it was him. I walked up to him and I said, you pushed my sister? And he said, yeah, what are you going to do about it? Nothing, I just want to know if you pushed her. And I told Sharon, I said, you know, go on to class, you know, I'll deal with this later. Watch what Laban does. He notices that somebody's talking to his sister. And so he goes out to the well to find out what's going on. But then he sees them sparklers are hanging on her ear. And he sees those bracelets on her arm of 10 shekels of gold. And boy, watch how he changes. He goes to, oh, come in thou blessed of the Lord. Verses. He said, come in thou blessed to the Lord. Mike, we got room. Oh, we've got room for you. And the people trapped. We've even got room for your camels. You come on in here and sit down and get comfortable. Take your sandals off. I'll bring you some water to wash your feet. I'm going to take care of your camels and give them some straw. Wow. Isn't that something? Yeah. He saw the wealth that the servant brought. He saw all the jewels that had already been given to Rebekah. And then he says to the servant, he said, now we've prepared a meal for you, sit down and eat. But this unnamed servant says, no. No, I will not eat until I tell you my story and why I'm even here. And he rehearses to the family of Rebekah about Abraham being his master and about the journey he took for the express purpose to find a little Gentile virgin to take back to a Jewish bridegroom. And after he tells his story, he even tells him about his prayer. He said, there I was by the well, I was praying, and all of a sudden, Rebecca became the answer to my prayer. She shows up, she gives me a drink of water, she watered the camels. That's why I'm here. Now I need to know, are you going to let her go back with me or not? Can she go back with me to meet Isaac? They said, well, this thing is of the Lord. What does it really matter what we think? I mean, you know, this thing's of the Lord. We don't want to mess it up. So far be it from us to say, no, she can't go back. But they said this about verse number 55. They said, yeah, she can go, but let her stay with us a couple of days. How many days do you think they want her to stay? Take a stab at it. 10. Isn't that something? You tell me this book isn't alive? Preacher, now wait a minute. The verse markings are not inspired. Well, you just go on and keep believing that. You just, anything. There is a number system in this Bible that shows up time and time and time and time again. Man. They said, let her stay a couple of, at least 10 days. And so then they, oh, man, this gets juicy right here. How many still with me? So then they say, well, you know, let's see what Rebecca has to say about this thing. And so they call her in, and in verse number 58, you'll find the marriage vow that we use today. They looked at Rebecca and said, wilt thou go with this man? She said, I will go. Wow. Isn't that something? So she strikes out on a journey to go back to be the wife of a man she's never met. Amen, preacher. She goes merely on faith. She's never laid eyes on Isaac. But they said, will you go with this man? She said, I will go. Now we come to the typology. Abraham becomes a type of God the Father, a type of a certain king that you find in Matthew 22 that makes a marriage for his son. Isaac, of course, becomes a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. His birth is recorded in Genesis chapter number 21. 7 + 7 + 7. Oh, I know that don't mean anything. But you find out that Isaac is obedient unto death in Genesis chapter number 22. Matching the Lord Jesus Christ in Philippians 2:8. Who said he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You find Isaac in Genesis chapter number 22 carrying the wood on his back for the sacrifice. John chapter number 19, the Bible said, and he bearing his cross. My, time and time again. We find out that Isaac is about to take unto himself a Gentile bride. John 1:11-12 said he came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, gave him power to become the sons of God. Amen. So you find all of the things that about Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you find the unnamed servant is a type of the Holy Spirit of God that's sent out into the world. He's doing it tonight. Seeking a bride for a Jewish bridegroom. He's unnamed here. You'll be hard-pressed to find him saying anything about himself. The only thing he says is talks about his master Abraham. Everything he says points right back to Abraham. He doesn't say one word about himself. Amen. The Bible said when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll not speak of himself, but he'll speak of me. Amen. So the servant becomes a type of the Holy Spirit of God. And then Rebecca, becomes a type of the body of Christ. Becomes a type of the church. Amen. The church, a Gentile bride. Verse 10, 10 camels. Verse 22, 22 shekels weight of gold. Verse 55, 10 days. Verse 58, the wedding vow. And then she goes by faith. 1 Peter 5:1-8 says, whom having not seen, you love. Amen. That's where I'm headed. I've never seen him. I'm going solely on what the Holy Spirit of God has revealed to me about him. Yes, that's why I'm going. That's why I said, yes, I'll go. Will you? Yes, I'll go. I will. I'm going strictly on faith. You're going on faith. You've never laid eyes on him. You're going on what the Holy Spirit of God has revealed in your soul about the Lord Jesus Christ. I found this, I'm telling you, it blows my mind how far back this goes. But I took a group of kids camping, and I took them horseback riding. Now, you got to be touched, as Papa used to say. in the head to take a bunch of high schoolers horseback riding. And all of them didn't want to go. All of them didn't want to go. I got a list together. And some of them was excited. Some of them had rode before. Some of them never been on a horse before. Some of them was petrified. And I'd heard about this guy that had some stables, came highly recommended. Calm, easy horses. He got a five-star review. So I had a list, and I drove up there, and I met with this guy. And he said, "So how many wants to ride?" I gave him the list. We agreed on a price. He told me how long the trip would be. And he said the strangest thing to me. He said, "I want you to, on this list," he said, "you got their names down. I want you to take this list and I want you to write down male or female." Okay. And he said, "I want you to write at least one word about their personality." Do what? He said, "You know your kids, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I know my horses." And he said, "I like to match personality with personality." And I said, "Well, help me. What are you talking about?" "Well, if you got one of the girls in there that's shy," I said, "Oh, this one right here. Yeah. If you got one that's scared, petrified, beside this name matter, scared to death. If you got one that's a little prissy, scared to death, or mascara will run right here. If you got one of the boys that needs to have his wings clipped," and I said, "Oh yeah, yes, this one." And I wrote down the names of some of those horses. I know you think I've lost it. See, I can remember that happened that year long ago. And don't ask me what I had for lunch today. I'll have to think about it. But one of the horses that he gave us was Patches. One of them was named Sadie. One of them was named Chester. One of them was named Lightning. Yeah, guess who got Lightning? Yeah. And I said, "I don't want to kill him." He said, "Oh, Lightning won't kill him. So he'll bruise him a little bit." And I said, "Well, I'm good with that. I'm okay with that." Most amazing thing I ever see. Those kids didn't know I'd been up there. They didn't know anything about any of this. They just knew that I was going to schedule a place for them to go to ride horses. And so when we showed up the next day or a day or two after that, he had that list. They're standing there. He takes that list, looks over the top of his glasses, and starts calling out names. And he called them out one by one. And walked them over, gave them the reins of a horse, and said, "This is Patches. Patches is going to be your vehicle today." And I'm sitting there thinking, these kids don't have a clue, man. They don't have a clue. The conversation that I had with this man. Somebody said, "Won't you quit telling stories and preach? Just fasten your seatbelt. Give me a minute or two. I told you the Lord uses me the way he uses me." And then he took another one, marched that one over, and said, "This is Chester." I thought, Chester, that's, well, wow, what a thing. And one by one, he brought those kids over and introduced them to the very horse that they'd be riding. Man, I'm telling you, that's one of the most amazing things. Oh, you should have seen Lightning. He told me. I said, "I don't want to kill this feller." And he said, "Hey, we won't kill him. We're going to bruise him." Because he showed me the route. And he said, "We're going to go over this mountain, down in this holler, and back over another mountain. And when we come back down, we're going to come out in this big field." Well, the watering trough is at the other end of it, and Lightning knows exactly where it's at. The rest of them will just gallop, okay? But Lightning will parachute through all four gears, okay? He never touches the clutch. That was priceless to hear that fella screaming like a little schoolgirl, buddy, trying to stay on that horse. But on the way back to the church, this has been many years ago. Kids I'm talking about, man, they're married and got 15 to 20 kids now. On the way back, I listened, and they were bragging on their horse. "Did you see? I had the prettiest horse. Sadie was the prettiest horse." "Oh, no. No. Patches. Did you see how beautiful?" And I'm sitting there listening to that, and I'm thinking, boy, there's a message in this somewhere. Somewhere one day the Lord will give me a message about this. And he did. You see, they're getting ready to go back. And the servant says, "Rebecca, The bridegroom has sent you one more gift, and I want to introduce you to her. Around here we call her Grace. She stands 6 foot tall. She's 7 foot to the hump. Six the number of man, 7 the number of God's completion. And I wrote this down when we was over there, brother. I did. I heard this guy say that, and I wrote it down and kept it. And said, this camel can drink 21 gallons of water, 7 plus 7 plus 7, in 10 minutes flat. Call the dogs off, the hunt's over now. Can you see him, Rebecca? If you make it from here to the bridegroom, it will have to be aboard Grace. The only way you're going to get there is aboard Grace. Amen. The only way you're going to get there, the only way I'm going to get there, is aboard Grace. Amen. Gamal, that's the name for camel. When I heard them say this, I heard them say this. They kept saying this word, so I wanted to know what it meant. Atah. When they was talking to them camels over there. And I thought, what in the world does that mean? You know what it means? To the Bedouins, gift of God. Gift of God. Wow. Does it say anything about in the scriptures about grace being a gift of God? Oh, yes, it does. And so I can just see Rebecca looking up at that camel named Grace and saying, I can't get that high. 6 foot to get, oh, sweetheart, you don't have to worry about that. No. You could never get to him. Grace will kneel to you. Amen. And they'll walk over there. I've seen them do it because I thought the same thing. You mean you rode a camel? Yeah, who you think you're dealing with? Doggone right. I got pictures to prove it too. But I thought, how am I going to get up on that thing? A talk. And man, they just fold up like an accordion. Wow. And right there. You just get on. It's too high. I can't get that high. Oh, when I could not come to where Jesus was, he came to me.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yes. Grace is not too high. It will come down to you. So here she is, man. She gets on, and she's ready to mount Grace. That's going to be her vehicle to get to the bridegroom. I can hear her say, as some of my girls said that day, well, in the road, a little rocky from here to there. Yeah, Rebecca, the road's going to get a little rocky. But Grace is called the ship of the desert. Grace is sure-footed. Well, and one of the girls said this. Well, what if I fall off? Oh, Rebecca. Oh, the bridegroom has took care of you, girl. He sent you a double humper. That ain't in there. Prove it didn't happen. We'll talk about it when we get to the other side. Amen? You see that hump in the back, Rebecca? That's mercy. You see that hump in the front? That's goodness. You're going to be seated on grace with mercy behind you, goodness in front of you. You couldn't fall off if you tried. Amen. That's almost enough to make a Baptist shout. Well, what about the sandstorms? I heard the sandstorms gets terrible out here. Well, you don't have to worry about that, Rebecca. You see, grace has 3 sets of eyelids. Has a set that goes up and down like this. Has a set that works like windshield wipers. And then has a set that drops down as a protective covering over her eyes where the sand can't blind her. Yeah, there's never been a storm bad enough that grace can't find her way through it. Amen. Yeah, the storm won't get too hard for grace. You just stay aboard grace. It'll never get too hard for grace. If it gets too rough on you, all you have to do is lean your little back against mercy, put your little head down on goodness, and just trust grace. Hallelujah. Amen. My. So she starts her journey on a camel named Grace. There's a reason camel is in there 18 times. Because the whole chapter is full of typology.
And I thought, what about these camels, Lord? You mentioned them 18 times they're in there. What's going to get the bride to the bridegroom is grace. That's the only vehicle that'll get you there. And the Bible said as they approached, Isaac had come out to meditate, to pray, still mourning the death of his mother. And Rebekah said, what man is this that comes out in the field? And you remember Wednesday night? Oh, behold the man. Yeah. That's the one I've been telling you about. That's the lily of the valley. That's the bright and morning star. And the Bible said that Rebekah put a veil over her face. And it said she lit off the camel. She didn't even wait for grace to kneel and let her off. Man, she saw Isaac. First time she'd ever seen him. She made the trip based on what the Holy Spirit of God had revealed to her about him. Amen. Amen. I've never seen him, but I believe the book. Amen. And I believe everything that the Holy Spirit of God has ever revealed to me about the one I'm going to see. Don't you? Amen. I see her get off, and she locks eyeballs with Isaac, the bridegroom, a Gentile bride, a Jewish bridegroom. I wonder if that don't have nothing to do with us, does it? It have nothing to do with the church or none of that. No, I didn't think that. I just want to make sure. But can't you see Rebekah? Can't you see her walking over and grabbing old Grace by the snoot? By the way, they got a nose. It's got a filter built into it. Man, they can suck in that sand and blow it out like a fish does water. And then just keep on trucking. I picture her going over there and thanking Grace. It's been a journey, Grace. But it's been worth the trip. I won't need you anymore. I'm home now. Yeah, I'm home. You say, well, cute little story, preacher. What's that got to do with me? If you're lost, are you lost tonight? Are you lost? Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved. That not of works. Grace is what saves you. You backslidden, cold and indifferent. Your life full of sin. Romans 5:20 says, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You lost your joy. It's a terrible thing to do. You lost it. Colossians 3:16 says, grace will put a song in your heart. It'll put joy back in your heart. You're going through a storm. 'Tis grace that's brought me safe thus far. Grace will. It doesn't matter what kind of grace you need tonight. It doesn't really matter. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says it's sufficient. My grace is sufficient. And whatever you came in here tonight, whatever kind of need, whatever kind of burden or heartache you walked in here with tonight, there's a grace that God can give you to cover that. Amen. How many of you tonight, how many of you know without a shadow of a doubt? Man, you're sitting right astraddle of grace with mercy behind you and goodness in front of you. And it's been a journey, hadn't it? Yes, buddy, sometimes the road's been rocky. And sometimes the storms got so hard we didn't think we'd make it. But grace brought us through it. And grace will deliver us to the other side. My. I think it's verse number 66, 67 said, and behold, the camels were coming. Just before I left, I thought, Lord, I'm leaving here on a camel and coming back on a white horse. Amen. Beat that. Hallelujah. My Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you for the truth of the precious, blessed, righteous, infallible word of the living God. I'm so glad that when the Holy Spirit of God convicted my soul, when the Holy Spirit brought me to a place, brought me to the foot of the cross, and I was convicted of my sin, and I asked you to forgive me and come into my heart, Lord, I am so glad that you afforded me a vehicle called grace that will get me home. Lord, I pray tonight, if there be anybody in this building, Lord, that doesn't know you in a free pardon of sin, very, very, very soon the camels are going to be coming. They better pick one out. They better pick out the camel of salvation, Lord. And my Father, if someone is bowed low tonight, if this world has got the best of them, my Father, I pray you to reveal it to them that in that caravan, there's a camel of grace that will meet their needs. I thank you, Lord, for being with me. I thank you for liberty to preach it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.